السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وسلم. الحمد لله. We continuing with the Sira Nabawiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the 51st installation of the Sira program. And alhamdulillah, to now we've been talking about the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah. And last time, a little quick review inshallah, it's been over 2 weeks. The tent of Ma'bad radiallahu anha, and we talked about how Ma'bad radiallahu anha, she was from Banu Khuza'a, and they used to live in the desert in a wadi of Qudayd, and we talked about how she would sit in front of her house, and she would give anybody who was passing by, she would give food, milk. And she had a tent there, so they would rest at her tents, and then they would proceed on their journey. So we talked about how the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr Siddiq they descended to the tent of Ma'bad radhiyallahu anha, and the beautiful poetry that she said in regards to the explanation of the Prophet and the description of the Prophet ﷺ. So she described him beautifully to her husband. Again, it was difficult to even translate the words. That's how powerful her words are. We also talked about, one thing I didn't mention is that when the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr Siddiq did stay at her tent, when they left the tent or during that time, a voice in Mecca was heard. And this is revealed, it's narrated in different books of history and different books, and they say that a voice was heard in Mecca. No one knew where the voice is coming from, but someone called out saying, Jazallahu Rabbun Nasi Khayra Jazaihi Rafiqin Iqala Khaymatay Ma'badi Huma Nazalaha Bil Huda Wahtadat Bihi Faqad Faza Man Amsa Rafiqa Muhammadi. And then there's some more lines of poetry. Beautiful saying that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the jaza, Rabbun Nas, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rabbun Nas give the jaza, the best of jaza, best of rewards, Rafiqaini to the two Rafiq, the two companions, Qala Khaymatay Umma Ma'badi, the ones who rested and did Qaylula in the house or the tent of Ma'bad radiallahu anha. They came and they rested in the house, Nazalaha. They came and they basically descended, they stopped there. Bilhuda wahtadat bihi. They descended and stopped there with Huda, with guidance. Wahtadat bihi. And she became guided through them, maybe because she became Muslim later on. Faqad faza man amsa rafiqa Muhammadi. That the one who becomes a companion of the Prophet ﷺ, that person is blessed. That person is fortunate to become a rafiq, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. Another incident that we talked about was Buraydah ibn Husayb radhiallahu anhu, and this is just before the Prophet ﷺ entered into Medina Munawwara. He had about 70-80 riders with him. They were in search of the bounty for the Prophet ﷺ's head, and as soon as he met the Prophet ﷺ, even though he was there to capture him, as soon as he met the Prophet ﷺ and started talking to him, he actually became Muslim. And I talked about how he took off his imama and he asked the Prophet ﷺ. He said that you shouldn't enter into Medina like this. So he takes off his imama, ties up on a spear, and he gives it to the Prophet ﷺ to enter into Medina, leading the Prophet ﷺ into Medina Munawwara. So one thing I want to talk about today, inshallah, and I'm going to try to make it short because we have to get home for iftar and whatnot, inshallah. But some other documented stops on the Hijrah. There is a book called Makkah to Medina, a photographic journey of the Hijrah route. Sheikh Abdullah Al Qadi, Hafidhullah, he wrote this beautiful book, and I actually acquired that book. It's Alhamdulillah, it's a very beautiful book, has pictures, full of pictures, and he spent years of research from the exact same points where the Prophet ﷺ descended and stopped on his way to Madinah Munawwarah. And he documents about 68 spots where the Prophet ﷺ stopped on his hijrah. And he says that 8 days, the whole 8 days journey from the point of where the Prophet ﷺ left the Ghar of Thawr all the way to when he entered into Quba, into Madinah Munawwarah, that was 8 days. So he has a very beautiful documented book, and if anybody needs to borrow it, inshallah, if they give it, promise to give it back, I'll give it to them, inshallah. So before Thawr, before the mountain of Thawr, the Prophet ﷺ, he started off the hijrah from his house, okay, the house of Khadija radhiallahu anha, and this is current day where the library is, okay, on the other side of Safa and Marwa. There's a library there, basically. That's the house of Khadija radhiallahu anha and the Prophet ﷺ. And he left his house. We talked about in detail how Ali radhiallahu anhu was staying. He stayed the night in the bed of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ walked right past those people who were there to murder him. They were trying to kill him. Then the Prophet ﷺ passed by a place called the marketplace of Hazwira. And this is a place actually right in front of the house, or the courtyard, you could say, of the cousin of the Prophet, Umhani, radhiyallahu anha. And we talked about, that was a house where the Prophet was, he was there with Abbas, radhiyallahu anhu, and his cousin, Ja'far, radhiyallahu anhu. They were there together. They were staying the night in the house of Umhani, radhiyallahu anha. And that's where the Prophet, the Isra wal Mi'raj, started from. So that's, the Prophet passed by that place. Now, because the Mataf has been expanded, you can't find that exact spot. But there was a spot, if you, basically from the Mataf, if you have your back to the Kaaba and you're leaving the Mataf. So you see these different gates, the, you know, around the Haram. And where it says Bab Abdul Aziz, I believe it's green. I think it's green. So it says Bab Abdul Aziz. And to the right of that, there's smaller doors. If you go up the stairs and you go to the right, there was a place there where the house of Umhani radhiallahu anha was. So I was told by one of the scholars that this is the place. So we would frequently sit, that was our gathering place. So whenever our family, or whenever we need to, after Umrah or whatever, we'd go and sit in that exact spot. So the Prophet ﷺ, next, he went to the house of Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. And remember when we talked about the hijrah that Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu was about to make to Abyssinia. So before the hijrah to Medina, he was going to go to Abyssinia to get away from the tortures and the torments of the people of Mecca. And the Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu had made a musalla outside of his house. And he would pray in that musalla and pray loudly, and the people would gather, the people of Mecca would gather to listen to him cry and recite the Quran, and with this beautiful voice. So that musalla of Abu Bakr, in the house of Abu Bakr, that spot is actually located in Mecca Towers. So if you exit from Bab Fahad, from the Kaaba, from Haram, you'll see the Mecca Towers right in front of you. It was called Hilton, actually, the old Hilton. So it's called Mecca Towers. And in the, if you go upstairs, the first floor, there's actually, it's called Musalla Abu Bakr. So we just like we have Musalla Abu Bakr here, or Masjid Abu Bakr here, there was Masjid or Musalla Abu Bakr in Mecca Towers. And it's still there, it's still open. It's a huge Musalla area. And that's a nice spot, inshallah, when we go back for Umrah or Hajj. That's a good spot, ACs and stuff. If you want to do Jummah, that's a good spot to do Jummah, inshallah. So that was the house of Abu Bakr Adhan. Then they went to Thawr, obviously. After 3 days and three nights in Ghar Thawr, they went, they descended the mountain and went towards Medina Munawwara. So I'm going to list some places. Again, we can't talk about 68 places. It's going to take too much time. And some of them are not that significant. So I'm going to talk about the more significant places, inshallah. We have the plain of Hudaybiyah. Again, this is where this Treaty of Hudaybiyah will be signed years later. The Prophet ﷺ passed by that place. It's currently, the place is called Shumaisi. The neighborhood is called Shumaisi, or the area is called Shumaisi. So that's one place the Prophet ﷺ passed by. Another place was the lava tract of Dajnan. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ, when he was coming back from Isra wal Mi'raj, there was a caravan that was coming, traveling. And remember, the people of Mecca, they asked the Prophet ﷺ for proof that he had gone to Jerusalem and back. One of the proofs that he gave was a caravan that was passing, and it was in this valley. or this lava tract of the Jinan, where the Prophet ﷺ descended off Buraq and took the water jug and drank from the water jug. So that's actually that spot. Another place where the Prophet ﷺ passed by or went by was the lava spur of Ghamim. And this is where in the during the Hudaybiyah travel, when the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims, the Sahaba were in Ihram and they were coming towards Makkah Mukarramah, they this is a place where Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu anhu, he became later Muslim. He wasn't Muslim at that time. He was leading 200 horsemen, and they were sent to kill the Prophet ﷺ. And kill, basically attack the Muslims, attack the muhrimin, the people who were wearing ihram. So that was the place of Ghamim. Another place is called Usfan. And Usfan, this is about 48 miles away from Makkah Mukarramah. And that sounds familiar. What is 48 miles to do with traveling? What does that have to do with traveling? Qasr, barakallahu fiqh. Okay, so you're a musafir. If your distance of journey is more than 48 miles, so that's Usfan. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked about traveling, he mentioned Makkah to Usfan, and that is a distance of 48 miles. So that was where the Prophet ﷺ also went by, and that is actually also where Salatul Khawf, the ayat of Salatul Khawf, was revealed later on in Hudaybiyah when the Prophet ﷺ was making the journey to Makkah Mukarram for Umrah, and Salatul Khawf was revealed, the ayat was revealed. And remember Khalid ibn Walid, when he and his horsemen saw the Prophet ﷺ praying like that, that highly affected his heart, and that's where he started thinking even more about Islam. Another place was called the Jumdan Mountain. And this is a mountain where the Prophet ﷺ, later on, again, one of his journeys coming to Makkah Mukarramah, Abu Hurairah, he narrates his hadith, and this is in Sahih Muslim. He says that the Prophet ﷺ said, as he passed by this mountain, he says, "Siru hadha Jumdan." He says, "Go on, keep on, continue on. This is Jumdan. This is the mountain of Jumdan." And sabaq al mufarridun. He says that basically it has beaten the Mufarridun. Now the Sahaba, they asked the Prophet ﷺ that Wamal Mufarridun, who are the Mufarridun, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ. He said, "Adhakirun Allah kathiran wa dhakirat." Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently, those are the Mufarridun. And this mountain of Jumdan has passed them. Meaning it's, we know that everything, the mountains, the animals, the, you know, this carpet, whatever is around us, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't understand its tasbih. Another place was the tent of Ma'bad, radhiyallahu anha. We talked about that in detail, I'm not going to talk about that again. Another place was the valley of Qulayya, and this is where Suraqa ibn Malik radhiyallahu anha tried to catch the Prophet when he tried to approach and catch them to get the bounty. So that was the valley of Qulayya. Another place was the valley of Juhfa. Okay, and this is a very important place. Where this is one of the Mawaqit. So the people, when they're coming from the north, northwest, basically, when they're coming down to Makkah Mukarramah, this is where they have to stop and they have to put on the ihram. You have also in this place, the valley of Juhfa. The Prophet ﷺ, while he was resting in this area, he felt some sadness. And the sadness was due to the fact that he left his home, where he was born, where he was raised. He left Makkah Mukarramah and he felt some sadness. He was remembering Makkah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah number 85 of Surah Al-Qasas. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has made the Qur'an or this mission, has made this fard upon, who has sent the Qur'an to you, he will send you back ila ma'ad. Some narrators, commentators say that this is referring to going back to Jannah, and others say this is referring back to Makkah Mukarramah because he was feeling that sadness, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised him that you will go back one day, meaning you will go back to Makkah Mukarramah one day to visit. Another place was the valley of Qaha. This is a place where a famous spot actually used by travelers over the centuries, throughout history, and it's also called Darb al-Anbiya. This is a place where the Anbiya and the pilgrims, when they would come, when they would come from wherever they're coming from, when they would pass by this area, they would stop in this valley. Another place was called Al-Arj, and this is during Fath Mecca. This Arj place was where the Prophet ﷺ and the army, remember there was about 10,000, the army with the Prophet ﷺ, they were coming to Fath Mecca, to conquer Mecca Mukarrama. And during that time when they passed by this Arj area, there was a dog that was nursing its pups or puppies. Okay, so it was nursing them, and the Prophet ﷺ saw this, so he actually appointed a guard to stand there and guard that dog, so that the dog and its puppies are not harmed by this army, and that, you know, they might accidentally, you know, scare it away or whatever. So a guard was assigned there to stand there. Another place was called Jabal Warqan. And Jabal Warqan, this is actually, the Prophet has mentioned about this Jabal, that this is one of the mountains of paradise. So we know, for example, Jabal Uhud, the Prophet says that this is one of the mountains of paradise. Jabal Warqan also is a mountain of paradise. Another place is Wadi Rim. Wadi Rim, and this is where Abu Ma'bad radhiallahu anhu, remember when he came back to his tent and his wife Ma'bad radhiallahu anhu was describing the Prophet so beautifully. Abu Ma'bad radhiallahu anhu, he says that is the same man that the people have told us about. That is the same man in Mecca, the Prophet who is coming. And I had made intention that I will go and become Muslim. I'll go and become Muslim on his hands. So Abu Ma'bad actually caught up to the Prophet ﷺ, and he became Muslim in this Wadi Rim. And then he went back to his place. And then later on, we talked about how later on he made hijrah with his wife and with his brother-in-law. They came and they, with his family, they made hijrah to Medina Munawwara. Another place is the meadow of Khakh. And this Khakh area, this is where the letter of Hatib al-Balta'a radhiallahu anhu, you guys remember when Fath Mecca, when the Prophet ﷺ was, before he left Medina Manawara for the conquest of Mecca Mukarrama, there was a Sahabi by the name of Hatib radhiallahu anhu. He sent a letter to the Meccans with a lady, he sent with her to go and warn them basically and tell them that the Prophet ﷺ is coming. Not out of, khiyana or anything like that. It wasn't like he was going against the state or against the Prophet ﷺ. He actually is a Badri Sahabi. He's from the people of Ahlul Badr. And the reason why he did, he said that when the Prophet ﷺ sent Ali radhiallahu anhu and another Sahaba to go and retrieve the letter that was in this rawda or meadow of Khakh. They stopped in this area and they met that lady and they forced her to give the letter. The Prophet ﷺ told that this was the letter, this is where you're going to find this lady. They got the letter and they retrieved and they went back to the Prophet ﷺ. Hatib radhiallahu anhu was asked, we'll talk about that inshallah in detail when we get to that time. But Hatib radhiallahu anhu was asked, why did you do this? He said that I wasn't doing this out of any harm to you or anything, because I knew you are a prophet and I know nothing, no harm will come to you. But I have my sister and my family living in Mecca. There's no one there to protect them. So I thought, you know, that the Meccans won't harm them if I send this letter. Okay, so another thing I wanted to, just really quickly, inshallah, about stretching the truth. Okay, so there's a thing called Ma'aridul Kalam or Al-Tawriya, and this is something that's spoken about, or the ulama talk about this. And one of the things about Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu, when he was traveling with Rasulullah and they're traveling to Medina Munawwara, now they would have their faces covered. But, you know, sometimes when you're resting or whatnot, people coming by and they would see him and they recognized, they knew Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu because he would extensively travel through, he was a, you know, businessman. And the Prophet ﷺ did not really travel too much outside of Mecca, so that's why he wasn't really known. And Anas ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu, he actually narrates his hadith. This is in Sahih Bukhari. He says, أَقْبَلَ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى الْمَدِينَ وَهُوَ مُرْدِفُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ رَضَىٰ عَنْهُ. He's sitting, riding behind Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu on the camel. And Rasulullah Anas ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu, he says, وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ شَيْخٌ يُعْرَفْ. And Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu was an old man, okay? And he was known by the people. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ was how old in the Hijrah? During the Hijrah. So he was 40 when he got the revelation. He stayed 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah. So he was 53. Barakallahu. So 53 is kind of, you know, old, you could say. I don't know how old you guys are, but I don't want to say the old, but Shaykhun Yu'raf, Abu Bakr Adhan was 51. He was about 2 years younger than Rasulullah. But he was, from his face, you could tell he was older. He had white hair. He looked older. When Nabiullah Shabun La Yu'raf. So Anas ibn Malik, subhanAllah, if you look at this hadith, he says that Rasulullah, even though he's 2 years older than Abu Bakr, he's 53, but he's a Shabun La Yu'raf. He was a young man. And we know that of the description of the Prophet, he only had a few white hair in his beard. They could count the number of white hair in his beard. And that was even until he passed away. So when he passed away at the age of 63, he only had a few white hair. He wasn't coloring his beard. He wasn't, you know, doing anything like that. And he was really young looking. This is from the barakah of Nubuwa, and this is the barakah of the Prophet ﷺ, that he had a beautiful face and he was young looking. So Anas ibn Malik says the Prophet ﷺ was a young man who was not known by the people. So they would ask him, they would ask Abu Bakr Adhan that, man hadha ma'ak, like who is this person with you? And Abu Bakr Adhan, he would say, hadha rajul yahdini as-sabil. He would say that this man is guiding me to the way. Now, the people, when they would hear that response, they would think that he's a guide, that he hired him as a guide, and he's on his, you know, in his expeditions, or he's going traveling, and this man's guiding him on the way. But what Abu Bakr Adhan meant by that was that this is the Prophet ﷺ, and he's guiding me to the truth. He's guiding me to the truth. So he basically, you know, changed the meaning, and the meaning of what they thought was he was meaning something else. And this is called Tawriya, or called Ma'aridul Kalam. Now, meaning of this, هي أن يقول شخص لفظاً هو ظاهر في المعنى. It's as if someone says something that means, it looks, it seems like it means something, ولكن المراد به معنى آخر. But the meaning of it, the hidden meaning, is something else. And the ulama talk about this, that there is, this is allowed when there is a need for it. Okay, when there's a need for it, for example, if your life is in danger, or, you know, some other need, there might be some kind of valid reason for using it. But it is haram. It is haram to do that if you're taking someone's haq or their rights, or doing something like that, or trying to trick people for some reason. That is, it's haram in that example. Some examples of we have this in the Quran actually, where Ibrahim alayhi salam, in one of the hadith, the Prophet salam says that Ibrahim alayhi salam did not lie. And what he means by lying is not the lying that we're thinking, but basically stretching the truth. That Ibrahim alayhi salam did not do this except in three times. And number one is when he said, Inni Saqim. So when the people were going out for the festivals, they said, aren't you going to join us? And he said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he looked up to the Nujum, he looked up to the stars, and he says, Inni Saqim, that I am sick. Not I am sick as in my stomach's upset, or I'm sick and I don't feel well. But what he meant is, I'm sick of you guys, and I'm sick of your shirk. I'm sick of these activities and festivities that you guys are doing. Another incident where Ibrahim alayhi salam used this was when they were actually out and they were doing the festivities, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, he broke the idols except the larger one of them. And when they asked him about that, he pointed with his thumb. So the ulama say he pointed with his thumb, and he said that wal fa'ala, meaning that the one that did it was that one, the big one of them, the bigger idol. So they thought he's pointing towards the idol, but he was actually referring to his thumb, seeing that this one did it, basically. Again, you know, that was he used that to protect himself at that time. Another time was he called his wife, Sara alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that, innaha ukhti, that this is my sister. And that was because the king of that time would basically kidnap the women who were married women, and he would kidnap them and take them to the palace or wherever his place was. And he basically said that this is my sister, meaning that she is my sister in Islam. And it was something weird, like they wouldn't, if someone was with their sister, or then they wouldn't kidnap the sister. But if it was with the wife, if she was married, they would kidnap the wife. It was something like that. So he said, "Innaha ukhti," that this is my sister. But they actually kidnapped her anyways because how beautiful she was. Anyway, so those are the three times where Ibrahim alayhi salam used ma'aridul kalam. Another incident, there's Imam Nakhai rahimahullah. Don't use this, I mean, unless there's some valid reason, but I'm just saying, for example, he would tell his daughter, if someone comes to the door, so remember Imam Nahi, rahimahullah, he was a very famous scholar, so people would come, he would be busy with his muta'ala, he would be busy studying or teaching or doing something in his house, so people would come and, you know, bother him at his house. So he told his daughter to say to them, قولي له, say to them, anybody comes to the door, اطلبه في المسجد, go look for him in the masjid. She wouldn't say yes or no if he's home or not. She would say, go look for him in the masjid. Basically, ward them off. Another example I'll give, and I'll end with this. I'm not sure of the man. I forgot who it was exactly, but remember one of my teachers told me about this, was when there was a man, he was being hunted by the non-Muslims, I believe, or whoever. They were hunting him to kill him. And when they found him, they didn't know who he was. They didn't know how he looked. So they said to him, you probably remember, do you remember who it was? Okay, rahimahullah. Mulana Qasim ibn Nanatwi, rahimahullah. He was being chased down, was it by the British, or was it?
By the British.
By the British, okay, barakallahu fee. So jazakallahu khair. So they were coming to kill him. And they asked him that, do you know where Qasim is, basically? And he responded by, he started thinking, like he's contemplating. He took a few steps and he said, he was just here. You know, yeah, I remember, he was just here. And he basically saved himself from being killed in that way. Anyway, so I'll stop there, inshallah. Next Monday after Asr, we'll continue with the Prophet ﷺ, his actual arrival in Medina Munawwara, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.